I am Natlewetan First Nation, and that is part of what used to be called the Carrier Nation. And that's because the fur traders named us, because they said my people were really good at carrying heavy loads for long distances. And I think they were prophetic, because my people certainly have carried heavy loads for a long time. But now we call ourselves the Dakhel Nation. And Dakhel is our name for ourselves, and it means the people who travel on the water, because there's a system of lakes and rivers that we can traverse quite well up north. And we still do. My cousins still pull in thousands of fish every year, the salmon, we depend on that. And a couple of my cousins even got some moose this year, and that's a huge job, but everybody likes the dry moose meat all year long. All winter long we enjoy that, and dry fish as well, canned fish. So I'm going to start with a song. At every First Nations gathering across Canada and the United States, whether it's a powwow, a potlatch, whether it's a Christian or non-Christian gathering, it is always opened with a word of prayer. And I was recently at a meeting with BC Chiefs in Canada, or in downtown Vancouver, when we met with the premier of the province, and that event as well was opened with prayer. And it wasn't the province that was asking for that. It was the native people, the native leaders, because every single First Nation has a concept of a benevolent creator. And we as Christians are always very careful theologically to ask good questions, such as, who is this creator? And could it possibly be a false god? Well, how do we know that our God is the true God, the one true God of the Bible? Well, we know who God is through the attributes or personality characteristics that we find throughout the Bible. God is good. God is loving. God is just. God provides. All of these things, we see who God is. And in my travels and in Randy's travels, we have asked different elders to tell us the story of the Creator in that nation. And I've never found anyone that contradicts the biblical concept of the Creator. And in fact, I found in my own culture, the Dakhel culture, stories that actually reaffirm different Old Testament truths and have brought me to a point of even greater faith in our God. And this is called general revelation. That's one of the things you learn in Bible school, the two ways that God is revealed to mankind. The first way is through the creation. And the Bible says that we are without excuse for believing in God, because we have creation that tells us that there is a creator. That's general revelation. And that's where Native people are at. It's kind of a very Old Testament understanding of God and of the creator. And the next way that God is revealed to us is called specific or special revelation. And that is that God is revealed perfectly through the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And that is where I long to move my people from understanding who the Creator is to understanding that for Creator so loved this world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but live forever. That is the most beautiful story that I have ever heard. So in my language, the word for father is Abba. And I've written a song called it Abba. And I sing this, if I'm asked to do a prayer song at a powwow or a potlatch, I very happily sing this song in those spaces.
Abba, you showed your love for us.
Amen. I really appreciate the fact that this church has been involved in the TRCs that were happening over the past couple of years. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada, which was the elders, the Native elders across Canada, asked for this to happen. They asked to be able to tell their story of the things that happened to them in residential school. Now, residential school is just a small part in the Canadian history of attempted colonization of Indigenous people of Canada. There is a larger story, but it's probably the most recent and most impactful part of colonization. And we usually ask this question. I have good news for you and bad news. What do you want to hear first? And we'll say, give me the bad news first. Well, that's what Native people received as well through the residential school, because the government had a policy of assimilation and eradication. They wanted to eliminate what they called the Indian problem. So they sent Native children to residential schools, made it legal and law, and they said to the parents, we will throw you in jail if you don't send your children to these schools. Then these schools did everything that they could to stop Native people from speaking their language. The clothes that were given to them when they walked in the door were taken away and thrown away or burned or sent to museums to be sold. And the mandate of the schools was the same as the government, but the schools were run by the churches. The day-to-day operation were churches all across Canada. And we're not really sure whether it was a spiritual mandate or it was just the government policy of assimilation. It really got muddy in there. But the goal was the same. There was a school up in the north, and the priest sent out a promotional page. He said, send me your Indian children, and within 2 years, the only thing left that is Indian of them will be the color of their skin. That was the goal of these schools. And unfortunately, what it did was, it didn't make us less Native. You can see that we're still fully here. We still have our identity. But what it did was it really damaged our identity, our feeling of self-esteem and self-worth, and it also damaged our view of God. It damaged our view of the Christian story. The gospel and the beautiful story, the story that I told you, the best story that I've ever heard, was never given as a gift to our people, but rather was used as a tool or a weapon of assimilation. So what do we do? What do we do in this situation where Native people have heard the gospel in some places, depending on where you are in Canada, they've heard it for 500 years and have not only heard it, but have been pushed away from it. This precious story, the gospel that is supposed to reach out to a hurting and a broken world. Well, what we have to do then is to start thinking in a different way. We have to start thinking missiologically and use concepts like contextualization and walk into a community, and instead of saying, we have the answer for you, and thinking in an ethnocentric way. A Cree theologian friend of mine, Ray Aldred, says that ethnocentricity is defined as this: I can't love you unless you look like me. And so we have to think about First Nations in a completely new way. We have to think about ministry to First Nations in a completely new way. To walk in humbly, and it's really hard to do that sometimes, but to sit and to listen and to not have something to say, it seems the opposite of what we're told to do as Christians. But to be humble and walk in humility and find out what God is doing there already. And I remember at Regent College taking a class with Eugene Peterson. And he said, you know, when you go to the hospital and you're going to go on visitation, you don't go there thinking, I'm going to bring Jesus into this room. But rather, you go there and you wait and you look and you see what Jesus has already been up to. And I think that's a good approach in working with First Nations people as well. I'm going to close with one last song, another song that I wrote because I wanted to put the name of Jesus into a cry. And also, I so long for our people to know Jesus, because this is where our healing of our people truly is. And I once again want to reiterate and thank you for your church's steps towards reconciliation and walking together with Indigenous people. And I really love Mennonite churches. I do, you know. One of the reasons is because I'm, as a Native person, you guys get all our cousin jokes. And you think they're yours. They're ours. They're our jokes. But this song is based on the scripture where Jesus says very strongly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to Creator except through me." Without the way, we cannot go. Without the truth, we cannot know. Without the life, we cannot live. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua.
Thank you, Cheryl. Have another hand for Cheryl Bear, hey? Native people don't like to brag about themselves, but I'm not Native, so I can brag about her, right? She's won a lot of music awards, and the Lord's used that to open doors for us as we've gone places. You know, anybody that's ever done missions work or traveled on reservations, you know that it's a little difficult at times to, you know, get people together, even doing work of evangelism. But when Charles won a few music awards, then now when she goes to a place, you know, she gets to get invited to sing to the whole high school there, you know, assemblies, goes on the radio and things like that. So God's really used her music and her songs to open doors for us. As you can tell, I'm not Native, and I used to say that I'm white, but then somebody was telling me, you know, that's not too PC or politically correct to, you know, start referring to the color of your skin, even if you say you're white. So I've changed it. Now I tell everybody I'm pigmentally challenged. How's that? Does that sound good? That's better, right? Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I just want to share a bit from our scripture that we read earlier. And that was picked out. And when I read that, I thought, man, that just fits in perfect with what I would like to talk about today. So somebody was really in tune with things there. That passage in Mark chapter 2, those first 12 verses that were read, what a great story. In the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, where A big crowd of people came, and he was teaching in the house, and it was packed right out, and outside people sticking their heads in the window and all are surrounding the place. And then after that, somebody wanted to bring their paralyzed friend to receive healing from Jesus. They couldn't get anywhere near the place, so they cut a hole in the roof and lowered him down, you know, right into the middle. It's the stuff of a really great Sunday school story. I remember looking at the teacher in Sunday school illustrating that story, and I've always been fascinated by this incident. But then Jesus says to the man, paralyzed man, he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And those religious teachers and lawyers that were hanging around, they weren't ready for that. For Jesus to say, "You're healed," that would be one thing. But to say, "Your sins are forgiven," they said, "That's blasphemy. That's, you know, you're making yourself out to be God." And we smile now when we think about that, right? Because he was God right there. They were absolutely right. But what Jesus was saying there, and I looked at this, and this is what I wanted to share with you today. I believe that when Jesus said to that man, "Your sins are forgiven," and then later in his dialogue with those religious leaders, he then says, "Take up your mat and walk." I believe that Jesus was saying there that the man's issues inside, the need for forgiveness, the need for reconciliation, always starts with getting right with God. And then healing can come in and take place. In fact, I think that even today, the problem in our society, and we talk about First Nations issues with people and other things, you know, we're living in the downtown east side. I pastor a church downtown right on the corner of Main and Hastings. And we see, you know, the issues in our community. And I really believe that it's more than just the physical problems. And I know you do too. But it's really the fact that man is not right with God. We need to get our hearts right with God, and then healing can come in. Then reconciliation can come in. But our problem is that the religious leaders today, the politicians and bureaucrats today, are still thinking that it's just all about the horizontal relationship, without thinking about that vertical relationship that needs to be taking place first. And that's what Jesus was saying. This man needed to get his heart right with God. His sins needed to be forgiven. He needed to be reconciled with God. There needed to be a heart change first, and then the healing could come in and take place. We need to be healed on the inside, and then the outside circumstances and things which are just symptoms of man out of sync with God, and then change can take place. And that's what I really believe. You know, we're more than just do-gooders downtown. You know, even though we do feed the poor and we work with people in our neighborhood, deal with all the situations that there are there, social justice issues. I'm all in favor of that kind of ministry. We're two doors away from the Insight, which is the harm reduction thing downtown. And, you know, I'm all for ministering to the needs of that are around us that we see. But, you know, a lot of it just doesn't go far enough. And myself, I don't have anything against harm reduction, but I really don't think it goes far enough. Because as a believer, as one who preaches this good news of the gospel, I believe that not just in harm reduction, but I believe in harm destruction. That's how I like to refer to it. We want to deal with core issues in people's lives. Our community downtown Eastside is one of two places in Canada where there's almost a majority of people are First Nations. So it's a good fit for Cheryl and I. Our community is half First Nations, half non-First Nations, just like our marriage. And our church is the same way. About half the people in our church are First Nations, half non-First Nations. And in the midst of that, all these issues that there are downtown here in our city, all the social issues, the drugs, the alcohol, the poverty, homelessness, the sex trade, murdered and missing women, most of all who have been Aboriginal women, First Nations women. Friends, I really believe that it's going to begin with a heart change. Can be no healing and no reconciliation until we have a heart change on the part of the exploiters and on the exploited. We need to see a change in people's lives. And that's what Jesus was saying. This man could be pitied in the story, being paralyzed. But Jesus didn't give him a pass just because he was a victim. He said he dealt with that this man was also needed forgiveness. Even though he was paralyzed and he was a victim, he himself needed a heart change. He needed his sins forgiven. And that's our message. That's the power of the gospel. It's not giving people a pass because we think that they're exploited or they're victims, but really coming to the heart of the matter that all of us, whether we're the sinner or the victim, but we really all need to be reconciled to God. And He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But it all starts with all of us getting our heart right with God. That's the power of the gospel, that it can change me, and then I come into right relationship with those that are around me. And we found downtown, we've been there for 20 years, as well as doing a lot of the traveling stuff that we do. And these days Cheryl goes a lot on her own to places. But we found that's really what people downtown need. That's what First Nations people need. That's what people that are victims or people who are exploited need. They need to have a relationship with God, and then from there they need meaning and purpose in their life. And it's a wonderful thing to see the Lord change someone's heart and then raise them up on their feet and let them get out and do something and accomplish something for Him. And that's what ministry to people is all about. Well, it's good to be here. God bless you. I'm going to say a prayer for you. I love this church already. You guys have blessed me just in a little time that we've been here. And so I want to bless you back in closing. Father, I thank you for this church that has been here many years. And I've seen on their webpage their heart for the world, their heart for their community, their heart for you, Lord. I pray a blessing on this place. May they become all that you want them to be. Increase their influence in this community of Vancouver. Use them in a mighty way, Lord God, to shine your light that lives might be touched and changed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for having us here to share a little bit with you today.